Father God, we come to you. Some mornings are great, some mornings are heavy, Lord. We come to you, and we just ask that you work your mighty power amongst us, Lord. And we ask that you touch us through the power of your word, the ministering of your word through Pastor. Lord, we ask that you would bless his words, bless his lips, let he speak nothing but your truth to us, Lord. We ask that you bless us in the middle of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for those prayers. And I invite you to turn, if you haven't yet, to Romans chapter 8. Again, if you slipped in perhaps a little bit late, we do welcome you again, especially those who are here for the first time or first time in a while. And we're looking forward to getting into the Word together. We're continuing our series in Romans. And chapter 8, you know, it's just a packed chapter. There's a lot of things. Thank you. There's a lot of things in chapter 8, a lot of material, a lot of concepts that we are pushing through. And so we're not going to get through it in one or two sermons. In fact, as I was looking at my message last evening, I realized I'm probably going to have to cut this in two. So I know some of you all saw 4 points and started getting nervous, but that's okay. I want to talk about sharing in the sufferings of Jesus. I don't know about you, but this has been a week of physical suffering for me. As you know, I've been struggling with some sickness. I still went up to New Jersey last Sunday evening and was there visiting with my mom for a couple of days and just continued to struggle with it. When I got back, so Tuesday evening, my sister had made a big pot of Jewish penicillin. That's chicken soup. In New Jersey, that's chicken soup. And that fixes everything. It heals everything. So we were enjoying that chicken soup. My brother-in-law, Jeff, was there. And we just enjoyed that together while we were visiting with Mom. I left that evening, got home early, about 1 in the morning. And exhausted, climbed into bed. Didn't feel right. Didn't feel good. Started sleeping fitfully. And about 4 in the morning, all that lovely chicken soup started revisiting me. Yeah. And from 4 till about 11, that was the diet of the day. So anyway, it was a rough week. I was thrown up, if you didn't figure out that. Just trying to be nice. And then that was Wednesday. Started feeling worse. And by Thursday, I said, you know what, I got to go see the doctor. I don't really like to go to see doctors. They push pills, you know, and so on and so forth. So I called, and there was a little bit of snow Thursday morning, remember? I think was school canceled or late or whatever. It was canceled. There was just a little bit of snow, and, well, the doctor's office, they had canceled all the appointments. I said, okay, great. I said, well, okay, what about tomorrow? Oh, no, we don't have appointments on Friday. I'm like, geez, come on now. So I ended up going to the urgent care in the evening, and doc said, no, you don't have strep or anything like that, but you do have a sinus infection. We're going to start you on antibiotics. So, you know, the fun never ends. Lovely antibiotics that really help with the digestive system as well. So it's been a week. And that's just a small example of physical suffering for me. Some of you have been going through sickness as well. Some of you have had all kinds of things going on. We've been suffering with this cold weather and the snow. When I saw the snow this morning for the third week on a Sunday morning, I'm like, Lord, you are trying us. I'm so glad that many of you came out anyway. And we pray against that snow. Amen. It's interesting, I was talking to Brother Jay Johns yesterday. He'd gotten back from Florida, and you remember a week and a half ago his back had gone out. And he was sharing with me, he said, you know, Pastor, he said, I've always kind of not really had too much patience for people who have had back problems. You know, he said, I've always kind of thought to myself, yeah, you know, you just need to suck it up and, you know, keep on going. And he said, I understand what back pain is now. And he said, I really have compassion for people with back pain. They were scheduled to drive down to Florida, and he did it with his back out. And he was in agony and excruciating pain for the whole trip down. So he said, I really can understand anyone who suffers with back pain, and the Lord has chided me in this. You know, there are many people that suffer in various ways, and it may not just be physical. It may be emotional. It may be relational. Things may be going on in your family, in your marriage, things with your job, children, all these kinds of different things, your situation in life. But, you know, as we look at the Scripture here, and we're going to look specifically at verses 17 and 18 in just a moment, but, you know, these kinds of sufferings, these kinds of trials and tribulations are really kind of minor when we think about the kind of things that we just prayed for in the bulletin. You know, the 150 Christians, men, women, and children that have been abducted and taken captive by ISIS. You know, to be very honest, they most likely will be killed. We think about the 20 Coptic Christians in Libya last week that were beheaded merely because of their Christian faith. And so as we look at those, you know, our difficulties, our trials, our tribulations are really kind of minor compared to that, aren't they? But they're still, you know, real for us. I can't even imagine being in that kind of situation. And that is not even to talk about the thousands and thousands of refugees that are literally all over different camps throughout northern Iraq and northern Syria. Families are separated. Husbands or wives have been killed or lost. Children are orphaned. I mean, it's devastating. It's absolutely horrible. By the way, and this is a little side note, it was Edwin Burke that said the only thing that is needed for evil to triumph is that for good people to do nothing. And this is why we must, as a nation, we must rescue those that are suffering. And not just Christians, but all of those that are suffering, but especially Christians, because they are being targeted. They are being specifically targeted. And so I believe we need to be active. Please pray for our leaders, that God will give them the wisdom. We pray that every week, and we pray it together as a congregation. The Lord will give wisdom to our leaders. Well, back to the text here. We read, starting in verses 17 and 18, this. Now, if we are children, that is, children of God, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we are sharing, that we share in the sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. I'm going to do the reading a little bit different this morning. I'm going to read it in chunks. And so the main point of this whole passage is this, that we share in the sufferings of Christ. We share in the sufferings of Jesus at the present time, but the Spirit helps us in our weakness until we are fully redeemed. That really encapsulates the entire passage from 17 through 27. But really, the first aspect I want to focus on is sharing in these sufferings of Jesus. We share, as Christians, we share in the sufferings of Jesus. It's stated as a fact. We are not exempt. As when we become believers in Christ, followers of Christ, we do not become exempt from suffering. We do not become exempt from trials and tribulation. There is a form of teaching and theology out there that, you know, you become a Christian and you just triumph in everything. And you know, you're not going to get sick anymore, and your bills are going to disappear, and you're going to become, you know, financially prosperous, and everything's going to go well for you, and on and on and on. And that's a false theology. I hope I can show you in the Word here that we are called to share in the sufferings of Christ. Here's a scripture, and I added this last night, Philippians 1:29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe, but also to suffer for Him. Now, not all suffering is suffering for Christ or suffering in Christ. Not all suffering is sufferings of Jesus. And we're going to talk about that. But it's interesting how Mike prayed. I believe the Spirit was leading him in concert with the Word today that for the Christian, all things that they go through, either good or bad, all things are in concert with God's will and God's working in your life and my life. All things. And that scripture that is later on in the chapter, verse 28, for God works in all things for the good of those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. He does. He works in all things, good and bad. All things. Now, the good news is that the indwelling Spirit of God, we're told here, helps us, strengthens us, walks with us, as Mike said, holds our hand as we go through, as we walk through trials and tribulations, as we are dealing with weakness. That's why you and I need to know Jesus. You see, if you don't know Jesus, then you don't have His indwelling Spirit, and you're walking alone. You understand that? If you don't know Jesus, if you haven't come to that place where you have laid your life down and invited Christ in, you're walking on your own. Now, the invitation is there for each one of us. Jesus says, come to Me. All you who are weary and heavily burdened, come to Me, and I will give you what? Rest. You can cease from striving. Cease from self-striving and self-performance and trying to figure it all out and trying to do this and do that. You can cease from that. And so the good news is that the indwelling Spirit of God walks with us, holds our hand. And indeed, later on in the chapter, verse 37, it says that we are indeed more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That doesn't mean that we go through all things and it's easy or they're all good. No, but in all things we overcome. We'll talk about that some more. As we look at verse 18 and we continue on, Paul says this, as he says, we are going to share in the sufferings of Christ, he says, but I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Now, some of you might say, well, you know, Paul, that's easy for you to say. You don't live in 2015, and you don't deal with my boss, and you don't have the situations that I have going on in my life, Paul. I mean, you know, you just don't know what's going on, Paul. And Paul, writing from prison, says, I'm in chains for the gospel. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. He goes on to say, I've been shipwrecked. I have been beaten with 39 lashes. I have been left for dead. I have been stoned. I have had literally had stones picked up and thrown at me so that they knocked me unconscious and they left me for dead. He said, I've had pressure to the point where I despaired of life. So, I think our brother Paul knew exactly what he's saying. He understood and experienced suffering, perhaps in ways we never will. And he says, I compare, our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. So, you know, we have to look at the bigger picture. And that is Jesus' promise. You know, as we sang that song a little while ago, He overcame. He overcame the grave. He overcame death and hell for us, so that one day, all of this is going to be transformed. This decaying earth is going to be transformed. A new heaven and a new earth is coming. Well, let's press on with some more about the sufferings. There's a number of ways that we share in Christ's suffering. John chapter 16, verses 33. And Kim, let's see here. Kim King is going to read that for us.
I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world.
Okay. Jesus talking to His disciples, and the words ring down through the ages. I have told you these things that you may have peace in Me. Right? That's where peace comes from. not from the world, not from anything else, not from ourselves. You don't have to look within to find peace, because when I look within, I don't find peace in there. I look within, I find chaos and confusion. Jesus said you find peace. In this world, he says, you will have what? Say it again. In this world, you will have trouble. This word trouble. It's also in the older translations translated as tribulation. The word, watch this, you with me? Say amen. The word literally means pressure. Pressure. Take your hands and squeeze your head. Do that. Pressure. I'm just making sure y'all awake. The word trouble or tribulation literally means pressure. And so, metaphorically it means pressure, but it means these things. Affliction, anguish, burden, and persecution. That's Jesus' promise to us. In this world, you will have these things. Trouble. But take heart. I've overcome the world. I've overcome that which you are going to go through. The world that you live in, I've overcome. Paul writes in 2 Timothy 3:12, he says this, and he's really reiterating Jesus' promise that we are going to have trouble. We are going to have tribulation, persecution. Paul writes this, all who desire, who are trying to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, will be persecuted. All of us. To one extent or another, at one time or another, all of us, the word says, will be persecuted if we're trying to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you find it easy to live the Christian life? Okay, I'm glad nobody said they are, because if you were, I'm going to sit down and let you preach. If you're finding it easy. I don't find it easy. Please don't think that because I'm a preacher, you know, and somehow I'm a different status or, you know, don't suffer things or don't go through trials and tribulations. No, not at all. I'm a human person just like you. I go through all these same things. Now, when he talks about suffering, the sufferings of Jesus, that we share in those things, let's define terms. Sufferings. And you'll see some of the overlap with what Jesus was talking about in John 16:33. Sufferings means this. Emotional and physical hardship, pain, affliction, misfortune, calamity, evil, persecution. That's quite a laundry list, isn't it? The sufferings of Jesus. Now, before I go on, let's just be honest. We all run from this stuff, don't we? I mean, we do everything we can to avoid these kinds of things. And, you know, to some extent, rightly so. I mean, if I get, you know, if my back goes out and I'm in terrible back pain, I'm not going to sit around and just say, oh, praise the Lord, my back's killing me, praise the Lord. I'm going to take some Tylenol or some ibuprofen. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But what I can't be doing and what we can't be doing is this. You know, Lord, why have you let this happen to me? Lord, I can't believe you're doing this to me. You know, I'm a king's kid. You can't do this to me, God. You know, we have to check the attitude. That's really what Paul is trying to get at. But we do. We try to avoid pain at all costs. I mean, we have a pill for almost everything now. In fact, they make pills for the pills that you take, right? To counteract the pills that you're taking that you counteract for that pill. I mean, my mom had to go into the hospital again on Thursday, and, you know, just trying to understand the doctors, and they have her on all these different meds, and, you know, it gets confusing, and it gets frustrating, because you just don't know what all these meds are doing. And they think that the upshot of it all is that they think that the bleeding that she was having was being caused by a blood thinner. So medicines have their use, but sometimes they're overrated. It's okay that we try to avoid pain at times. I'm not going to go out and, you know, slam my hand in the door of the car on purpose. I'm not going to say, hey, I need to suffer for Jesus. Bam! That's stupid. That's not suffering for Jesus. You know, and let's understand that not all things are suffering for Jesus. Not all things are even trials or tribulations in the sense of what God's talking about here. I can make really stupid choices. Right? And I can bring consequences upon myself. I can do things that are outside the will of God, and I can bring about some really bad circumstances in my life. Now, God will still work in those things, but, you know, as Peter says, we've brought those upon ourselves. That's not what is really being talked about here, although once we're in it, we're still promised that the Spirit will help us in our weakness. The Spirit will walk through us, with us, through this. Here's the problem. We go through these kinds of situations. We go through trials. We go through tribulations. Even if sometimes we've made bad choices and we begin to suffer consequences, you know, and what happens? We get upset. We get angry with God. We get disappointed with God. We get frustrated with Him. We say, God, why are you doing this? Why have you allowed this? And you know, God can handle that. The problem is we can't get stuck there. You can ask the question, and sometimes there may be an answer, sometimes not. So, let's just be honest, there are certain things in this life that you're just not going to get an answer for. You know, there are certain things that, because of other people's sin, innocent people suffer. Some of you, you know, experienced abuse when you were growing up, when you were little. Some of, whether it was physical or sexual or emotional, some of you went through terrible, terrible things like that. And I don't have an answer for you except we live in a world of sin, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. We live in a fallen world, and people are fallen, and some people do terrible things. And because of that, innocent people suffer. And that's why we must always ask ourselves, you know, what am I doing? My choices that I'm making, the actions that I'm doing, are they going to hurt other people? What are the consequences going to be? Let's look just a little bit more. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 21. Marshall Tooman is going to read that for us.
If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it will love you, or it will love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed me or my teachings, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they know not the one who sent me.
Amen. So if you go back to the first verse there, first thing he says, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first, right? 19. If you belong to the world, they would love you as its own. Now, let me take a moment and explain when Jesus says the world, when he's using that phrase, that context, what does he mean? The world means the human system that is opposed to the value, the worldview, the priorities of God. That's what he means. He doesn't mean the physical world there. He's talking about the system that is opposed to and opposite of God. Values, worldview, you know, probably the biggest value and philosophy in the United States today is hedonism. Pleasure. It's all about pleasure. What I base my life on is what pleases me. You might think, oh, no, that's not me. But, you know, I got to be honest with you. I think we are all pretty much infected with that virus. Pretty much. You know, and we do a quick test and it could show you that it's true. You know, you put on one side the amount of hours that you spend in recreation and doing things that are fun and for pleasure, put that on one side. Then on the other side, put those things on there. I'm not talking about work, physical work or labor, your job. That's something we all got to do. But I'm talking about our time that is ours beyond our work. The hours that you spend with other things, helping others, ministering to others, volunteering. And I think you will find we're all a bit unbalanced. we spend an awesome lot of time with pleasure. Things that are fun, pleasurable. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is, if those things drive our life, we're a hedonist. We do things for pleasure. You might say, oh, Pastor, I never thought of myself as a hedonist. Well, examine your life. Consider what your life is about. But that's what Jesus is talking about. The world, this system that's opposed to God, you and I don't belong to that. We now belong to Christ. And the world hated Jesus, and in the main, continues to hate Jesus in the sense that they don't want to hear that He is the exclusive, the one and only King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They don't want to hear that. He's chosen us out of this world. That's why the world hates us. Now, you might say, well, you know, the world doesn't really hate me. Well, we often think about hate in terms of like an emotional outrage or an emotional expression. That's not biblically what the word hate means. The word hate means to be opposed to you. To be opposed. So, you might say, well, you know, the world doesn't really hate me. Yeah, it does. I can give you one example. Just go out from these doors today and start telling people about Jesus. You'll see how fast you get shut down. You'll see how fast somebody will say, you have no right to tell anybody that. You'll see how fast people will begin to reject you, don't want to hear it, even get nasty with you. I went into a store, this is several months back, and I had my Jesus necklace thing on. I can't remember the name of it, the little fish thing. I don't wear it on Sundays because it messes with the microphone. You hear this the whole time. We don't want that. But I was wearing that, and the fellow was waiting on me. He looked at it. He goes, oh, what's that? I said, well, that is the sign of the fish, which is a sign of the ancient Christians. And he looked at it, he goes, oh. And he just kind of walked away. And I was like, geez, yeah, that's pleasant. You know, I should have threw my money at him, so here. You know? But the world around you is not friendly. Now, you might say, well, that, you know, they don't really hate me. Well, get ready. Hold on. ISIS hates you. Just because you are a Christian, there are many people that just because they are Christians, they have done nothing wrong. In fact, they have tried to help other people, and just because they're Christians, they are getting abducted, slaughtered, and really that is a picture today, the epitome of the scripture that we're talking about. And so, we cannot get stuck in these kinds of situations thinking, God, why are you letting this happen? Why am I being hated? Why am I being persecuted? Lord, why am I going through trial? Why am I going through tribulation? The reason that if you get stuck in this, you will be miserable, and, watch this, you will be ineffective. You get stuck there, you will become ineffective because your whole focus will be, poor me, look at my situation, rather than, look, this is difficult. I don't like it. But God, you're with me. You are walking through this with me, holding my hand. And Lord, I know I'm going to make it through with you. You are going to enable me to overcome. You see, that's a difference of attitude. And then you see, I can minister to other people. Whatever they're going through, I can say, you know what? I'm going through it too. It may not be the same thing, but I can offer comfort and hope. The hope that Jesus gives. So number one, if we break this down a little bit more, we are called to share in the sufferings of Christ. We are called to share in the sufferings of Christ. This is not the way that it's translated, verse 17 in the NIV, it doesn't quite grasp the conjunction in the Greek, the context in the Greek. It's not contingency. It's not a performance here. It's not conditional. In other words, that you are in Christ if you share in His sufferings. No, it's meant to be fact, stated as fact, that if you are in Christ, if you are His child, you will go through the sufferings of Christ, stated as a fact. In other words, He's saying, if you're going to be a Christian, if you're going to share in the glory to come, which we all want that, don't we? We want the glory to come. We want the wonderful things that God has in store for us. We want that, but we got to know, and we have to accept and embrace that suffering is a part of the package. Following Jesus means you have to accept that suffering is a part of the package. Why? Because Jesus said, if the world hates me, the world will hate you. If the world persecuted me, the world will persecute you. Christian means I'm just like Jesus, right? The word Christian literally means a little Jesus. And so, you and I are going to go through the exact same things Jesus went through. Maybe in a different form. You know, it's kind of like ice cream. A lot of different kinds of flavors, but it's still ice cream. So these kinds of situations and trials and tribulations, they may be different, come in a different shape, different form, but they are still that. If we're going to be like Jesus, here's what our response needs to be. 1 Peter 2:23. He, that is Jesus, did not retaliate when he was insulted, when he was reviled. He did not threaten revenge when he suffered. That's difficult, isn't it? To have that kind of mindset, to have that kind of attitude that, oh, Lord, especially when people do things against me, I'm not going to return it in a like way. I'm not going to revile them. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to threaten. When I'm suffering, Lord, I am going to bear it because of your name. Now, that goes against my nature. I'm just being honest, right? Especially if someone does something against me. I mean, it is in my nature to rise up and say, you know, who do you think you are? I'm going to tell you something, you know. I'm going to set you straight. That's in my nature. You know, when I'm going through things, I try to find, you know, the way that I can avoid this. I remember it was in 2001. We were in our church down in Columbia. We had moved there the year before, and I've always had, you know, back trouble. But something happened, and I woke up one morning and, you know, had terrible pain all the way down to sciatica into the leg, and it was like a knife, you know, was in my backside. It was just horrible. And I spent the next weeks running to every doctor and chiropractor and the hospital, you know, trying to get relief. You know, it's in our nature to get relief, to avoid. But what Jesus is talking about here, and it's not the same thing as having back pain, but the principle is this. Jesus did not retaliate. You remember what he said in the garden? Peter said, Lord, you know, we'll draw our swords and let's take them. That's Tom's translation. And he says, Peter, don't you know that I could call down 10,000 angels right now? Put your sword away. He says, have I not come to do my Father's will? He, in that situation, he submitted himself. And so we must have the same kind of attitude that Jesus said. We submit ourselves to God in whatever we're going through, whatever hardship, whatever trial. 1 Timothy 3:22. I already read that. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Here's a few more scriptures, and then we're going to wrap up there for today. 1 Timothy 2:3. And Matt Dawson will read that for us. Okay. Let's focus there for a second. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. So, Paul's writing to Timothy, young Christian, young pastor, and he says, endure hardship. Okay, very similar concept, similar idea. And for Timothy as a young man, a young preacher, he was going to endure certain kinds of hardships that others may not, you know. He says to him a little bit later, don't let anybody look down on you just because you're young. You know how that is. I remember when I was a youngster, young pastor, you know. What do you know, you young whippersnapper? You know, especially the older Christians, they kind of look down on you like you were, and I was, green behind the ears, you know. But he's saying, endure this kind of hardship. And whatever thing, other things you're going through, he talks about the fact that other people opposed him, Timothy. People opposed him. People that were bringing false teaching into the church were opposing him. And he says, endure hardship. He doesn't say run from hardship, does he? He doesn't say avoid hardship. He says endure it. How? Like a good soldier of Christ. You see the imagery there? We know that soldiers suffer. They have to endure a lot of hardship, don't they? How many of you have been in the military in some way, serving? Okay, so a lot of you. A lot of you. And you know, some of the suffering that goes with it. At least in boot camp. Right? And that's their favorite place to break you down and build you back up and put you through a lot of suffering and toughen you up and all those kind of things. But we're to endure hardship like a good soldier. A good soldier does what? He obeys his commander. And so we understand that there's some purpose in this. Number one is that we are under orders from Commander Jesus. And so we are to endure hardship like a good soldier of Commander Jesus. You and I are under his orders. If you're a follower of Christ, you're under his orders. You're a soldier. And you are to endure hardship for him as a good soldier. You endure it, you learn from it, you grow from it, and God shows you as you go through it what he has in store for you. So, obedience requires enduring hardship. Tom Henry texted me last evening, or yesterday at some point, Pastor, how about we do the hymn, Trust and Obey? You think that was Spirit-led? Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey even when it's hard. Trust and obey when you're going through hardship. Because God will bring us through and he will show us. Here's another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. And I don't have a name to read for that one. Did we pick somebody or I'll read it? 2 Corinthians chapter 3, excuse me, chapter 1, verses 3 through 6. Now watch this. We're almost there. Coming in for the landing. Enduring hardship here. Losing my eyesight. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. You see it? He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can moan and groan. Just making sure you're awake here. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the same comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces, watch this, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. One of the reasons that God allows us to go through sufferings, trials, tribulations, hardship, simply so that you can become a minister of God. So that when someone else is going through it, like Jay said, he really understands and has compassion now for someone who has back trouble, who has back pain. He can have compassion and say, man, I know what you're going through. I'm going to pray for you. Because I've gone through it and I know how painful it is. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray with you. Is there any way I can help you? You see? If you don't go through it, it's hard for you to relate. So, in the middle of this, God does give us comfort. He gives us the grace that we need. He gives us the ability to endure, and so we can give that to others. We give that to other brothers and sisters. That's part of the process of growing here. We receive comfort. As we're going through sufferings, we then in turn give it to others. One more. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7. In this we greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So, another purpose of God is that our faith is refined, is purified in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trial and tribulation. Guess what? You have to heat a fire really, really hot in order to melt the gold or the silver. That fire's got to be hot, baby. If that fire's not hot, the gold doesn't liquefy and the dross doesn't rise to the top. But if it does rise, then the refiner is able to scoop the dross off the top. And so one of the purposes that God does is He wants to get rid of the dross in your life, in my life. Oh, I don't have any dross in my life, Pastor. Oh, really? Okay. That's good. Let me have a talk with you for a little bit. See, sometimes I will say things to you, you know, one-on-one, I'll talk to you, and I'll say things that you get mad at me about. You all know what I'm talking about. Some of you, I've had some conversations with, right? I see y'all, some of y'all shaking your head and chuckling. There's been times we've had conversations, and you've gotten mad at me, because you haven't wanted to hear what I had to say, because maybe it hurt. Maybe it stung. Now, please understand, it works both ways. There's been times some of you have said things to me, you know, and it's hurt, it's stung. I didn't want to hear it, you know, but it's the truth. You know, that's just one example. You know, David talked about that in the Psalms. He says, you know, it was good for my friend to strike me. I'm like, I read that first time, I'm like, what? It's because, you see, blows from an enemy are better than kisses of a friend. You know, the enemy sometimes will speak the truth to you in anger, in frustration. And sometimes we as Christians, we don't speak the truth in love, do we? Rather, do we kind of sugarcoat things, and or we don't want to get involved, or we don't want to get anybody's feelings hurt, or we don't want to offend somebody. You know, but you see your brother or sister going down the wrong way or getting involved in a situation, and we're called to share the truth in love. You know, so our faith is getting endured. Persevere is being built into us as we're being refined. And it's not fun. And it's not easy. I don't have time to go into it today, but Hebrews chapter 12 talks all about it, that God often uses certain things for discipline, growing us because it hurts. And so we are to endure it. We are to submit ourselves to it. We are to allow God to bring out that dross that's in our lives so that He can scoop it off and get rid of it. I want you to think with me just a second. Do you want to stay right where you're at in your life spiritually? What's going on in your life? Do you want to stay right there? Or do you want God to grow you? Do you want Him to get rid of the dross, the stuff that is worthless and useless in your life? Do you want Him to have His way? Do you want Him to do that in your life? That's really the question. God wants to do it, and He will do it one way or another. Sometimes He has to turn the heat up really, really high. But He will do it. But it's a whole lot easier when we submit ourselves to Him and say, God, yes, I want You to do this. Help me through this, Lord. Help me through this. Now, we're going to do next time, we'll come back and we'll talk about that part of our suffering comes from just being in a fallen world. Just the fact that we're in a fallen world. And there's some sufferings that there's just no explanation for. You know, you can try to trace it back and find somebody's sin or some kind of an explanation, but some things there's just no explanation for it. And that's the point, as Mike mentioned, exactly a scripture I wrote down to close with, as Job said, Job chapter 37, he said, even if the Lord slays me, yet I will trust Him. Even if He slays me, yet I will trust Him. Is that your faith? Though no matter what you're going through, your faith is, Lord, You are God. And I may not understand this, I may not like this, but You are God. And I submit my life to You, Commander Jesus. Help me to persevere. Help me to endure hardship like a good soldier. Have your way in my life, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, these are not easy matters to talk about and share about from the Word. They're not easy to endure. They're not easy. They don't feel good. But Lord, we know they are as much a part of your will in our lives as the joy and the comfort and the peace. I pray for each one of us, and I especially want to pray for those that are going through a trial, a tribulation right now. Lord, may we stand strong together. May we also remember all of our brothers and sisters throughout the world that are suffering terrible, terrible persecution, terrible trials, Lord. May we stand in solidarity with them, Lord. May we lift them up to you, cry out to you for them. Lord, help us to put into perspective our lives. Help us, Lord, to submit our lives to you. I pray this over these people. I thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for their attention to your word. I bless them that we would walk as good soldiers of Christ. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you need prayer for any reason, we invite you to come and be prayed for. If you have a physical need, we'll anoint you and pray over you, according to James chapter 5. God bless you all.